we get things underway by welcoming back to the program from 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, our friend Ty Anderson. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich, how's it going?
Doing very well. It's it was a day off from school for me, so I like that. And it's the absolute best time of year for me when it comes to sports, with everything happening at once.
Oh, this is the best. Yeah, I mean, the only thing that rivals this, in my opinion, is typically that middle week of those middle weeks of April, then mm-hmm. where you have baseball starting and the first round of the playoffs with both the NBA and the NHL. I mean, that's like the close second for me. But I love fall, and I think it's really because we're in the swing of everything here. I mean, meaningful games or meaningful days on almost every day of the calendar, which is, I think, why we all do this, right?
Absolutely, and excited for the start of this Boston Bruins season, tweaking the roster, getting ready to go. Were you surprised at them waiving Wagner and Moore?
You know, I was surprised with Moore because I think that he's done a pretty good job in camp. He's played the right side, which is a weak side for this team in terms of their overall depth. And so I thought he kind of earned his spot. So that was surprising. I mean, maybe it is surprising when you factor in the cap logistics of it. You know, $2.75 million is a lot of money for a depth defenseman, given how close they were against the cap. In the case of Wagner, not as surprising. I think probably through the halfway point of camp, I realized he simply wasn't skating with NHL players, which is never a good sign when you're an established veteran like that. And for Wagner, really, the writing was on the wall beginning last year. I thought for sure he would get a clean slate, so to speak, and get a fresh start for this season. But ultimately, the Bruins just believed in some other guys that are a bit cheaper, a bit younger, and would have been waiver eligible and perhaps scooped up by another team.
What do you think about this new combination on the second line of Coyle, Hall, and Smith?
You know what? Early returns are good. They look strong. Coyle looks like the Coyle that you had in 2019. When he was centering your third line on the way to the Stanley Cup final. I think that one thing you're going to notice with this line is that you're going to see Taylor Hall be more of a leader, more of a driver. Hall is a great passer, right? And we lose sight of that because of what his role was last year, playing with another excellent passer in David Krejci. But Hall can really drive a play. He has great vision through the neutral zone as well. So I really think that you're going to see Hall be that line's driving force. It's top playmaking threat and really open things up for Charlie Coyle to be maybe the top shooter on that line along with Craig Smith. I mean, you got two guys there that if they can fire the puck and Hall can set them up, there's going to be a lot of open ice for those guys to cash in. So I like that line so far. We're going to have to wait and see how it plays out in their actual, you know, in the games matter. But their first showing, I think, was a great one, honestly.
You wrote about this. There is an opening and an opportunity for somebody on that fourth line. How do you think that will play out?
Well, right now, I think that Carlson Kuhlman is the favorite. You look at sort of the logistics of what that line needs with Curtis Lazar out. They need speed. They need pace. They need someone who can disrupt the forecheck a little or get on the forecheck here and disrupt some stuff. So I think that makes Kuhlman a natural fit for that line. Anton Bleed is going to be the extra skater to begin the year. Bleed's never played right wing, so that makes Kuhlman a great option there. If they go beyond that, you can always recall Wagner after clearing waivers. You have Oscar Steen, you have Jesper Frödin, you have some guys here that you could slide in for that speed element. But I think Kuhlman, they believe in him, right? They've always liked that the fact that they can throw him in the lineup during long layoffs or in between games and he doesn't really lose a step. He can just kind of play his game. So they like him a lot. So I think he's the favorite for that role right now. I'm curious how this line is going to look, though, because that fourth line with Corrali at center in the past was always a defense-first kind of line, heavy minutes in their own zone, rarely, if ever, saw the offensive zone. This line, a little bit different here. Nošek is an offense kind of player. He can play D, but he can create offense. And Kuhlman, they believe, has some offensive touch as well. So I'm curious to see how they're going to be utilized once the season gets going here.
I saw you tweet just a few moments ago that it'll be a trip to Providence to start the year for young Jaxson Nikka.
Yeah, you know, he had a great camp, arguably the best skater in camp for the Bruins, but a numbers game working against him, right? The Bruins don't want to play him on the fourth line, and they don't want to play him on the wing. So that means that he has to outwork Patrice Bergeron, which we know is not going to happen. I mean, come on, let's be real here. You know, Charlie Coyle is healthy, looks good, so there goes an opening there. And the Bruins like what they have with Eric Halla, who I think Halla looks great, to be honest with you. This might be a diamond in the rough signing for the Bruins. But you do the math there, there's really no opening for Sednika. So, and he still has options. So they're going to look at the minor league options. They're going to begin the year with Sednika in Providence. He can play all situations. He can play 20 minutes a night, continue to round out his game. But really, this was sort of like the worst kind of defeat for him, because it was nothing he did wrong. It's just there wasn't an opening that they thought made sense for him. So Sednika should be happy with his camp, and I think that if there's a single injury anywhere in that top nine at any point this year, we're going to see Jack Sednika get his call up to the show and see what he can do.
The question everybody up here has got, Ty, is, has Jeremy Swayman done enough to be the starter in goal?
You know, if I were picking it right now, he's my opening night starter. I think he was substantially better than Linus Ullmark throughout the preseason. And I think that there's a familiarity there with Swayman, where they know what he can do. He knows what the team in front of him will do, and there's a comfort there. So I think Swayman is the guy. He should be the guy. If Ullmark is your starter on night one, it's really because of his contract, which I don't believe in being a thing. So I think that based on the numbers, the performance, everything you have right now, Swayman should be your night one starter. Now, is he the starter for the entire season? We're going to have to wait and see. The Bruins have mapped out October. They have a rough idea of who they want to start each game in October. But beyond that, it is going to be 100% performance-based between Ullmark and Swayman, which is different. Like, in the past, they've known, hey, Tuukka's going to play 51, 52 games. This is a little bit different now. They don't know the ceiling on either one of these guys. But if I were a betting man right now, I would say Swayman is the guy in game one.
Are there any other big decisions that need to be made between now and opening night?
Big decisions, probably not, no. I would say long-term view. This defensive depth is a little bit concerning to me. If I were the GM of this team, I look at that right side and I say, we really don't have the bodies there. So I'm curious if and when the Bruins make a trade for perhaps a depth guy there as their fourth string, you know, right shot defenseman. They can always bring Moore back up and play in there, but not really a natural spot for him. So I think that that's something that they're going to have to take a long look at here, because if this defense suffers two injuries, let's just say at the same time, you're quickly running out of NHL-capable bodies and NHL-ready options. So that's something that I think is worth monitoring as the season develops. And we know the Bruins, right? Every single season, it seems there's a stretch where they lose three or four defensemen at once. So if that happens, I think you're going to be in a whole lot of trouble this time around. So I'm curious to see if and when and how they address those depth issues on the back end.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub with us here on Downtown. Now, if you look at the schedule for early in the season, well, how do you think that bodes for the Bruins to start things out?
You know, I think they're in a good spot here. You know, there's a lot of rest, which I think is helpful for a team that has as many moving pieces as the Bruins, right? Where you don't know how guys are going to fit in the locker room. You have a rough idea, but you truly don't know. So you have a lot of time together, right? You have a lot of familiarity, getting to know each other. And I can tell you, the Bruins are sick of practicing. They want to play games right now. They've had 20 straight days, basically, of practice. They're ready to get the show going. But you look at the start to the season, I really think that there's a good opportunity here for this team to gel, get comfortable with one another, and maybe, you know, rattle off a little bit of a mini run here, you know, winning 10 of your first 13 games, something like that. If that can happen, it can go a long way, because we know how the schedule looks toward the end of the year. You have a game almost every other day, you know, the final month and a half of the season. So to get off to a good start here is huge. And I think with the opportunity, the days between games, the amount of home games, I think it sets them up favorably to get some chemistry going and really get off to a good start.
From your perspective, who's the team to beat in the East?
Well, it's probably Tampa until proven otherwise, right? I think that that's sort of a natural belief. But they lost an entire third line,
right?
And so that's the challenge for them now. Can they overcome that? They've overcome almost every other obstacle they've had over the last 3 years, let's just say. But that's a team to watch. The Islanders adding Chara, I mean, that's a good fit for them. He's not Chara of 3 years ago or even 2 years ago, but that's a good fit stylistically. So they could be dangerous as well. Toronto, I don't believe in personally, but this could be a power shift, really, where we could see some teams that maybe we don't think are cup contenders emerge as legit threats. A team like that, in my opinion, would be Carolina. Can they do it? We're going to have to wait and see. But I like the makeup of that team. I like the mentality of that team. And Rod Brind'Amour, I think, is one of the best coaches in the NHL. So they could be a potential dark horse, I think, in the Eastern Conference as well.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Ty, good talking with you. As always, appreciate you making some time this afternoon, and we'll do it again before too long.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Ty Anderson with us on Downtown. It's